It is 24 March, Sunday. I'm Charlie Garrett, and this is the CG Prophecy Report. Nothing to see here. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, I got a message from somebody named Dave. He is moving to Ottawa, and he wants to know if anybody online attends from Ottawa or that area, and to let me know, and I'll let him know. He is moving to Ottawa. I don't know if he's starting a store or if he's moving a store, but Red Wing shoes, anybody know of those? They are the best work boots on the planet, bar none. They are unbelievable. Yes, I actually own a pair. I don't wear them, but when I was in the wastewater business, I had several pair of Red Wing. I gave away a couple, and they give you one every year, whether you wanted it or not. And so I gave a couple. They're like $300 shoes or so. They're just amazing. But I did keep one pair that I'd been wearing, because who would want to wear shoes after me? And I think the last time I wore them was when I went to Israel to film the thing from Jerusalem to Jericho. And I only wore it on the plane. I have learned that when you're on an airplane, never wear sandals. And the reason why is because your feet swell. And when you get up, you can't get your feet back in the sandals anymore. No kidding. You have to walk for like an hour to get the blood going. And so you're walking around with sandals barefoot in a terminal, and people don't appreciate that. So you do wear shoes when you fly, unless you have sandals that are just really able to expand and accept big, fat, blood-filled feet. So we got some news from Israel. Oh, before I give you that as well, we've got Tom and Nancy visiting from Ohio. They have come down here a couple times. Tom comes down alone sometimes to go fishing. And you went fishing yesterday? It was kind of gross. What did you do?
I got a line wet.
Oh, okay. He got a line wet, but he didn't go out. But we can expect to not see much of him while he's here for the next week and a half or however long, because he loves to go out and go fishing. And so good stuff. Anyway, welcome back to you guys. From Israel Hayom. Door to normalization with Israel still open, Saudi sources say. And I've been saying this. This is, you know, you hear all these doom and gloom things about the Saudi normalization. They want this as much as anybody. But, you know, they have to tread slowly. They've got a culture that is demanding certain things. And it's going to happen. It's inevitable. But although the Hamas war slowed down normalization efforts with Saudi Arabia, sources in the kingdom say that the door to peace with Israel remains open, despite recent harsh criticisms against the IDF. A Saudi official said that as long as the fighting in the region continues, the talks cannot progress, and that's to be understood. Nevertheless, it doesn't mean that Riyadh is not interested in establishing ties with Jerusalem. Saudi Arabia does not have specific preferences as to who should be the prime minister of Israel. They would open to normalizing ties with Israel under Netanyahu or Gantz, who is gaining momentum in the polls. However, that Netanyahu's unwillingness to go easy on Palestinians could hinder the talks. I don't think it'd hinder it at all. I think that's just diplomatic speak. Saudi Arabia's number one priority is the end of the war, then humanitarian aid, followed by dealing with the issue of hostages and addressing the subject of the displaced. But Netanyahu wants to prolong the war to get out of his crisis in the polls. I don't believe that either. That's just a comment from the article writer. There will be no normalization without a Palestinian state. That I don't believe either. This is my guess. Israel will say, we will make a Palestinian state in this year or under these circumstances, and Saudi Arabia will say yes. That's what I think will happen. I don't think that there will be any bar to this. Saudi Arabia is interested in strategic solutions, and this government is composed of extreme right-wing parties that cannot accept it. Maybe in the elections, Gantz or Lapid will come, then the situation will change. Okay, there's a lot of bias in that article, but I personally think that when the war is over, they will go ahead and make peace with Israel, and then they'll exchange diplomats and everything else. I just don't think it's the problem that a lot of people are presenting. They're just trying to keep this, you know, it's a way of keeping things restrained during the war. But this is at least 2 years ago now, the Arab states had all said, we are sick of the Palestinian issue. They are unwilling to negotiate. They're unwilling to yield. This is their fault. They all blame them. Everybody knows this. And so the PA has cut off its own nose. But in the open, they will always say, we need to have this and we're going to support these people, et cetera. So that's where we're at. From Haaretz, North Israel becomes unnavigable as IDF scrambles GPS signals amid Hezbollah conflict. So people driving around in the north of Israel don't have their GPS. You better have your AAA paper maps because you're not getting around otherwise. Food deliveries, public transport payments, and even Tinder. Since the IDF began jamming GPS signals, residents of northern Israel have learned just how dependent they are on navigational technologies. I never use them, I don't want them, and I have no problem without them. The rest of you, you're on your own. Okay, from World Israel News, Israel to begin ramping up domestic helmet and weapon productions. The decision comes as the IDF seeks to limit its dependence on the U.S. for vital military equipment. The Defense Ministry's procurement department is in the process of drafting an RFI for an Israel-based manufacturer to describe their ability to develop helmet and uniform manufacturing facilities. In general government contracts, the RFI stage is then followed by a request for proposals, whereby prospective vendors would submit their bid to build the factory and manufacture the helmets and uniforms. IDF helmets and uniforms are largely imported from U.S. manufacturers, which has caused problems for the military during the ongoing war against the Hamas terror group in Gaza. The outbreak of the war led to the call-up of more than 360,000 reservists, causing a massive shortage of helmets. IDF guidelines prescribe specific helmets for different units, such as stronger ballistic protection, flashlights, cameras, and other specifications. According to the procurement department, the sudden need for such large quantities of helmets led to a delay in delivery, the need to source from multiple parties, and an increase in price. That was the case for other essential gear, including weapon systems and ammo that comes from the United States. They don't want to be dependent on us anymore for those type of things. And so I think what they're doing is absolutely smart. From the Gateway Pundit, former Hamas hostage claims Palestinian nurses. And actually, if you think about it, this is what anybody would do. It's just an article to show you that the mindset of the people is fixed. Nurses cheered at the sight of abductees. They were also so happy that they came back with prey. Okay. Now, when we have victories in war, I don't care what side you're on, you're always going to cheer your people. But when they say that this is only Hamas and the residents aren't that way, they are absolutely all in the same boat. They're all very happy about what happened. There's very minimal support for Israel in Gaza. So just something to let you know that's going on. Okay. We got some news from Christianity. From the Christian Times, this is a problem. Indian state moves to criminalize praying for the sick. Yeah, imagine that. Last month, the northeastern state of Assam introduced the bill, which Christian leaders say unfairly targets their community's custom of praying for the sick. Though church healing meetings in India have drawn people to Christ, local Christians insist that prayer is a legitimate, universal spiritual practice and not an unethical tool for conversion. The proposed ban, which passed the 126-member state assembly on February 26, states, "No person shall take any part in healing practices and magical healing propagation for treatment of any diseases, any disorder, or any condition relating to the health of a person relating to the human body, directly or indirectly giving a false impression of treatment to cure diseases, pain, or trouble to the human health." Now, you can see how they can manipulate that. They're basically saying, we don't want to give a false impression and we don't want people citing incantations and stuff over people. But once you start praying for the sick, who draws the line? And that's the attempt here, is they don't like that people are being converted to Christ. And this is one way of getting them to nix people praying for others. Any first-time offender can face 1 to 3 years in prison, a fine of 50,000 rupees, which is about $600, or both. A subsequent conviction may result in 5 years imprisonment and or a fine of 100,000 rupees, which is about $1,200. The bill must be ratified by the president of India to become an act. Assembly leaders in Assam say that the healing ban does not target any particular religion, but they were clear about their aims to restrict evangelism and conversion. There you go. We want to curb evangelism in Assam. So in that direction, the banning of healing will be very, very important as a milestone. The state is governed by the Hindu nationalist BJP, the national party of the Prime Minister Modi. Healing is a very, very dicey subject, which is used to convert tribal people. We are going to pilot this bill because we believe that religious status quo is very important. So if it is, then why can't people continue to pray for their people? But whoever is Muslim, let them be Muslims. Whoever is Christian, let them be Christians. Whoever is Hindu, let them be Hindus. In other words, no conversions. They're not saying let them be. They're saying they will be. Let them be Hindus so there can be a proper balance in our state. From the Western Journal, NBC trying to shame Latinos for voting based on their Christian values. NBC News is apparently getting concerned about recent polling showing former President Trump beating Biden among Latinos and sees Christianity as a big reason why. The news outlet brought out the Christian nationalist boogeyman in hopes of persuading some to change their mind. Latino evangelical support for Christian nationalism, notice how they call it nationalism, this is their words, rises as Trump courts religious vote. So even a Latino, which may have just moved here 5 years ago, is now a nationalist because they're supporting Trump. Noticias Telemundo reporter Lourdes Hurtado, who wrote the NBC story, pointed to Trump's appearance at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention last month. She quoted him saying, "We have to bring back our religion. We have to bring back Christianity." Trump's rhetoric is linked to the ideology of Christian nationalism, which calls for America to be an unequivocal Christian nation in its laws and customs, and whose adherents don't believe in a separation of church and state, Hurtado claimed. Christian nationalism, which doesn't separate between church and state, and whose members are being courted by President Trump, is rejected by most Americans, but has grown among Latino evangelicals, this lady says. Most Americans. Well, we'll see at the polls, won't we? Well, we might not, because it might happen again. But anyway, Mail Online. Connecticut pastor launches armed patrols to keep the streets clean after deadly shootout near his church, despite condemnation from the Democrat mayor. He wants to have patrols. This is a black guy, too. It's not like they can go overboard in what they say, but they don't like that this guy is defending his own flock. Archbishop Dexter Burke demanded patrols after a rash of violence in Hartford. Democratic Mayor Arulampalam and other local leaders condemned the action. They condemned asking for more people to take care of the citizens of their city. Those are some not very smart thinking liberals. We got some news from the Mideast and Africa today from Aretz Shiva. Terrorists open fire on Gazan civilians waiting for aid. You may have heard this if you watch the mainstream news that there was a shooting and that the Israelis were targeting people waiting for aid. And that was untrue. And so I'm just reading the counterbalance. This is about a week ago now. The IDF released exclusive footage of Arab terrorists. They have footage. I mean, it's not like they don't have drones flying all over that place. Exclusive footage of Arab terrorists opening fire in the midst of Gaza civilians about an hour before a humanitarian aid convoy entered the area of South Zaytun in the Strip. The Gazan Ministry of Health, which is controlled by Hamas, claimed that it was the IDF that opened fire on the Gazans, killing at least 21 people. But the IDF said those allegations were false. A preliminary IDF investigation into the incident found the Gazans were terrorists. In fact, the ones who opened fire on the civilians waiting for aid. About an hour before the entry of the aid convoy last night, Palestinian gunmen were seen opening fire in the midst of a crowd of Gazan civilians. And, you know, when you do this at night, it doesn't hide anything because they have the thermal imaging and they have the guys shooting them. And what they're doing is they're killing people, getting them to disperse so they can steal the food and the aid, right? We emphasize that there was no opening of fire by IDF forces at the aid convoy in Kuwait Square. So if you heard anything about that, it was entirely untrue. But of course, the mainstream media and others get a hold of that, immediately put it out, and so people's minds are tainted by that kind of nonsense. Times of Israel. Iran using European ports to hide weapons shipments to Hezbollah. The ships unload weapons in the Syrian port of Latakia, which are then taken south into Hezbollah's Lebanon. From Latakia, the ships continue to ports in Italy, Spain, and Belgium to help conceal the goal of the trips. Using Europe helps to hide the nature and the source of the shipments, switching paperwork and containers to clean the shipments. Europe has huge ports, so Iran is using that as camouflage. It's very easy to do manipulations in those big ports where things have to move very quickly, rather than a small port where there will be more scrutiny. The sea shipments were a recent occurrence from last month because of Israeli attacks on air, land, infrastructure in Syria to Lebanon. So we are seeing an increase in container shipments. Although Israel has struck Iran-linked targets in Syria for years, including areas where Hezbollah has been active, airstrikes against Iranian arms transfers have become deadlier and more frequent since October 7th. So they're doing what Iranians do. From Zero Hedge, Muslims will become a majority in Swedish cities in just one generation, boasts a Pakistani-born theologian. Swedish women have never had so few children as in 2023, the new data shows. Based on the childbearing gap, Yasser Qadhi, a Pakistani-born American theologian, predicts that in just one generation, half of Malmo's population will be Muslim. Walking through the streets of Malmo is like walking through Baghdad, the capital of Iraq, or Damascus, the capital of Syria. Ethnic Swedish children are already a minority in the school system of Malmo, with one Swedish academic reacting to the massive demographic transformation known as the Great Replacement by claiming that schools should be taught in Arabic, as Swedish is now a minority language. The demographic changes present new challenges for integration. Malmo has completely transformed from nearly all ethnic Swedes into a multicultural area marked by urban decay, no-go zones controlled by migrant clans, and a city unsafe for women in many areas. Data also shows that migrants and those of migrant background are responsible for the vast majority of murders, shootings, gang rapes, and robberies in Sweden. The vast majority. In fact, they had the lowest crime rate, I believe, in all of Europe until they started importing these people, and now it's at the highest.
How do you spell that city?
M-A-L-M-O, with an umlaut over the O. Malmo. Zero Hedge. 10-year-old kids denied drinking water in class because of three Muslims observing Ramadan. Imagine this. 24 children were told they could not drink water at a school in Germany because three other students in the class were Muslims observing Ramadan. The 10-year-olds in Frankfurt were all denied drinking water due to the tiny minority fasting for the Islamic unholy month. German outlet NIUS notes that the fifth graders informed their parents after two teachers at the school made the decision. One parent commented, "At dinner, we always talk about how the day was. I asked my daughter what was new at school. She then told us that two teachers had forbidden the students from drinking in class because three of the 27 children were fasting. The teachers were reported to have prevented students from accessing the water dispenser in the hall or having water bottles on their desks. But it gets even weirder. A father of one of the students noted, "We found this announcement strange. The children in fifth grade are between 10 and 11 years old. Even for religious Muslims, the fasting requirement only applies from the age of 14. The fact that 24 children have to take three children into consideration when it comes to basic physical needs, that's a strange intervention." The school has refused to comment on the claims. You know, I lived in a Muslim country, and they don't care if other people eat. They don't care. That's not an issue. They just don't eat, right? When a Christian has a fast, he didn't tell anybody you have to stop fasting because I'm fasting. They just do it, right? That's insane. Okay, something interesting from Mongolia, from DNYUZ. Mongolia's leader seeks air route with UK to help export critical minerals and rare earths. Western powers are in a race against China, which extracts and refines the majority of rare earths to secure as much of the precious materials for their own industries. In order to ship its extensive deposits of rare earths, copper and uranium abroad, Mongolia relies on neighboring China for access to the port at Tianjin. The prime minister said, "Britain, with which Mongolia feels a kinship because both of our countries have a history of having empires, could benefit from access to the materials by establishing flight routes in and out of the country. We are in the process of studying what transportation will be used to export those commodities to other countries, and also we are looking for possibilities to use air transportation to export critical minerals. Okay, Daniel 12 Technology from NPR. Scientists take a step closer to resurrecting the, anybody? Woolly mammoth. A biotech company that hopes to resurrect extinct species says that it has reached an important milestone, the creation of a long-sought kind of stem cell for the closest living relative of the woolly mammoth. This is probably the most significant step in the early stages of this project. Colossal has been working to bring the mammoth, the dodo bird, and other extinct species back to life using the latest cloning and genetic engineering techniques. And now the company says scientists have, for the first time, created induced pluripotent stem cells for the mammoth's closest living relative, which is Asian elephants. The company plans to describe the work in a scientific paper. It has not yet been peer-reviewed, but the company says that's in progress. The achievement is still far from the ultimate goal of creating herds of giant hairy beasts roaming in the wild again, but it's a major step. This is kind of like asking Neil Armstrong if he plans to go to Mars. Kind of misses the point. He just landed on the moon on Apollo 11. Scientists can now try to use cloning techniques and gene editing to manipulate the cells in the hopes of someday creating elephants with key traits of mammoths, such as their heavy coats and the layers of fat that enabled them to survive in cold climates. We don't necessarily need to bring back a perfect genome of a mammoth because we want one that has certain things that mammoths don't have. Like we want them to be resistant to the herpes virus that is causing a huge fraction of infant elephants to die. There you go, woolly mammoths. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues noted in the book of Revelation. From Zero Hedge, extreme events. U.S. cancer deaths spiked in 2021 and 2022 in large excess over trend. They don't know what's causing it. Cancer deaths in the U.S. spiked in 2021 and 2022 among 15 to 44-year-olds in large excess over trend, marking jumps of 5.6 and 7.9% respectively versus a rise of 1.7 in 2020, according to a new preprint study from Finance Technologies. The report, which relies on data from the CDC, paints a troubling picture. We show a rise in excess mortality from neoplasms reported as underlying cause of death, which started in 2020, 1.7%, and accelerated substantially in 2021, 5.6%, and 2022, 7.9%. The increase in excess mortality in both 2021, Z-score of 11.8, and 2022, Z-score of 16.5, are highly statistically significant, meaning extreme events. The author suggests that the cause may be the result of an unexpected rise in the incidence of rapidly growing fatal cancers and/or a reduction in survival in existing cancer cases. While the finance report is extremely careful to not draw conclusions, researcher Ethical Skeptic kicked the barn door open in a post on X showing a strong correlation between cancer incidence and mortality, coinciding with the rollout of a particular vaccine. Finance principal Ed Dowd commented on the post, noting that cancer is suddenly an accelerating growth industry. And remember that somebody just invested in cancer and heart attack research in a big way in the past 5 months, which I read right here from this pulpit. Pfizer. Okay. So there seems to be a correlation with the direction of Pfizer's movement. From the Gateway Pundit, CDC finally releases 148-page study on myocarditis following COVID vaccine, and every single word of a 148-page study is redacted. Zachary Stiber, a reporter with the Epoch Times, released a CDC report on frequency of myocarditis following the COVID vaccines. My comment, nothing to see here. From Zero Hedge, major measles outbreak reported in the U.S. as migrant shelters become infectious disease breeding grounds. The U.S. is on the verge of a major measles outbreak, with cases in the first 2 months of the year nearly eclipsing those in the previous year. As doctors warn, that's 2 months over the entire previous year. As doctors warn, many young physicians have never seen a patient infected with the virus. Hundreds of people are already feared to be infected in California and Arizona after cases were confirmed in people in the states who visited local hospitals. Okay, morality is declining. From the post-millennial, Canadian Supreme Court justice says use of woman, and it's a woman that's decided this, to describe a rape victim in lower court was unfortunate. Calls her a person with a particular female part. That's what she calls her. This is a Supreme Court justice in Canada saying calling that woman that was raped a woman is unfortunate. She's a person with a Breitbart study. Transgender suicide risk doubles after gender-affirming vaginoplasty. CBS. Banning same-sex marriage is unconstitutional, a Japanese high court rules. So desu ne. My wife is looking at that like, what, are they crazy? From the post-millennial, American support for same-sex marriage declines for the first time since 2015. They've had enough of it shoved down their throats. Georgia Star News, percent of LGBTQ Americans has more than doubled in just a decade. And they say it's not a cultural thing. From our other news category, Zero Hedge, housing affordability crisis solved. Sedona to let homeless workers sleep in cars. So if you know anybody from Sedona, Arizona, thinking of you, Adrian, you want to let them know that this is now the policy in their area. After an acrimonious debate that spanned almost 7 hours, the city council approved the Safe Place to Park program by a 6-1 vote. 40 parking spaces will be made available in a 6-acre parking lot at the town's cultural park. The lot will be outfitted with temporary bathrooms and showers. A homeless coalition will be charged with overseeing the facility from 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. And all cars have to leave the lot during the day. So much for shift workers, right? I mean, the whole thing is just not smart. To secure a spot in the lot, individuals must be full-time workers in the city. Proponents say the lot will help prevent homeless workers from sleeping in cars parked on Sedona streets or on the National Forest land that is one of Sedona's major tourist draws. Residents worry the lot will become a hub of criminality and drug use. One resident who fled homeless-plagued Portland, where they tried this and now it's turned into a nightmare out there, for Sanctuary in Sedona, is already working on an end-around to kill the program. If the city does pass this misbegotten ordinance, I've already prepared, and tomorrow I will file for a ballot referendum so the people of Sedona can correct that mistake, and I guarantee you they will, says Dr. Bill Noonan on the day of the vote. From the post-millennial, Venezuelan killers, gang members, heading to the United States after release from prison. Now, they've been doing this for 2 years, but these are really some of the worst offenders that are left in the prisons. Some of Venezuela's most violent criminals have been released from prison, and officials warned that they could be headed to the U.S. Those released allegedly include convicted killers, thugs, and members of the infamous Tren de Aragua gang. Venezuelan illegal immigrant Jose Ibarra, who has been charged in the killing of a Georgia nursing student, Locken Riley, is reportedly an active member of the same gang. Venezuelan Supreme Court of Justice Magistrate Gaviria announced that 100 prisoners have been released and the country is looking to release more on a case-by-case basis. What they're doing is Maduro wants the prisons empty. He doesn't have to pay for these people. And so he says, if you will go to the United States, and this has been going on for 3 years now, they will let you in and we don't have to fund you anymore. But that is the conditions of release. You get out of prison, you go to the U.S., and that's what they're doing. So Rolando Vasquez, an immigration attorney, warned Americans about the dangers that could be headed their way, saying these are killers. These are career criminals. Maduro is just sending more. They're thugs. These are prisons where there's thugs and killers. These are not prisons where they house the political opposition. Americans need to know they're coming to the border. Now, remember what I read you last week. Venezuela's crime rate has fallen for the first time in eons because they are getting rid of all their criminals. They're sending them up here. Zero Hedge, illegal immigrants leave the United States hospitals with billions in unpaid bills. Mail Online, America's top meat. And I said this last week, I wanted you to know I wasn't making it up. So that's why I'm reading this. America's top meat and poultry firm boycotted as it sacks 1,300 staff at Iowa Pork Plant and offers job and lawyer packages in bid to hire 42,000 asylum seekers in New York. So I just want to let you know that I wasn't making that up. Zero Hedge. Anti-Trump neocons raising $50 million to keep open border Democrats in power. They want the open borders. Zero Hedge. California Democrat wants taxpayer-funded lawyers for illegals convicted of serious and violent crimes. They want you to pay for that out in California. Hence, we are in Florida. Gateway Pundit. Devastating blow to old Joe. U.S. passes House resolution condemning Biden regime for causing the worst immigration border security crisis in American history in a bipartisan vote. Absolutely. Even the left has to do this because they know that their jobs are on the line coming up in a couple months. Gateway Pundit. Maine's Soros-funded DA will no longer prosecute illegal immigrants for specific traffic offenses, including driving without a license and driving with a suspended registration. We got a problem, just like Sedona. We'll just change the law and that'll take care of the problem. From Yahoo, top red state official demands answers on Biden executive order attempting to register illegal voters to vote. His executive order is set for that purpose. And it has been signed, so we'll just see if they're, you know, that's the whole purpose of bringing these people up here. That's the whole purpose. They cannot win an election legally. They can either steal it or they can do it this way, which is basically stealing it. From the post-millennial, Iowa state passes bill to make illegal immigration a state crime. Good job. Zero Hedge, writer ridiculed for asking, where are the black people in ancient Japan samurai show? A writer for lefty woke outlet Medium is facing ridicule for penning an article complaining about the lack of black actors in a new TV show about samurai warriors in Japan in the year 1600. It's just crazy. These people are literally crazy. American Military News. U.S. military teaches race is fictional. Parents are incapable of teaching children. That's what's being taught to our DOD schools now. An unclassified document for the U.S. Command and General Staff College in Fort Leavenworth, Arkansas, allegedly shows that mandatory training for U.S. military members, I said DOD schools, it's for the members themselves, for U.S. military members, including teachings that race is fictional, that racism is ingrained in education, economic systems, and current laws, and that parents are incapable of properly teaching their children about racism. You're the problem. Zero Hedge, South Carolina becomes 29th state to allow carrying firearms without a license. Fox News, Boeing failed 33 out of 89 audits during FAA examination. Oh, that's good. They got the other two-thirds down, so it's okay. Fly the friendly skies. From Zero Hedge, India joins small group of nations able to fire multiple nuclear warheads using a single ICBM. What is that terminology called? Anybody remember that? MIRV, thank you. Multiple independent reentry vehicles. And now India can do that. Zero Hedge, U.S. industrial production sees more downward revisions. This has been consistent since he came into office. Every single month, they start with a high number, so people say, look at the great numbers. Every single month since he's come into office, they've revised them down. But it's too late because the people don't report the second one. Another day, another downwardly revised data set. In today's episode of Stuff You Believed in the Past is Not Real at All, U.S. industrial production in January was revised from 0.1% decline to 0.5% decline. That is the 10th monthly revision lower in the last 11 months and the 14th of the last 17. But that's in accord with the BLS numbers that I report every single month that have been revised down every time, every single time since he came into office. This is only the, what is it, the 10th of 11. So he got one bad mark. Okay, who said it? None of you is going to get this, I think, but I'm going to ask anyway. You're the fastest runner, but you're not allowed to win.
Hitler.
No. It just fits so well with what's going on in the world today. The women that are out there participating, and then they let guys run, and they can't win, and it came to mind. It's from a song, No One Is to Blame, by Howard Jones. It's a great song from the 80s, anyway. I just couldn't help when I was listening to that song. It came up on my mix, and I thought, that is the truth of today's world. You got these girls out there that are trying to do something with their lives, and they get some guy that is a reject from the guy's side. So he says, I'm a girl now, and he beats them all. No kidding. Okay, got a Lesserick here for you. Let's see if you can figure out what he is talking about. In a place where the people should think, the non-fasters are kept from a drink. When it's Ramadan time, there's no reason or rhyme for non-Muslims to put up a stink. Okay. Yeah, that's just unbelievable. I can't believe that they are allowing that in Germany. You're Germany. Aren't you glad to be here in Florida?
Not my Germany anymore.
Not anymore. That's right. Okay, I've got a couple of ironies. You know, before I give you some ironies, I'll tell you, today is Palm Sunday. Okay? Today is Palm Sunday. It's a great day to think on what Jesus Christ did. I mean, Daniel the prophet predicted that he would go into there hundreds of years before he did it, to the day. And there he went, right into Jerusalem. Micah said he'd be riding on a donkey, or was it Zechariah? Anyway, he went in on a donkey. Okay, all the prophets testified to what is coming in the next 7 days of our calendar, actually 8, because we'll count next Sunday as well. It's all prophesied in Scripture. It's wonderful. So if you're down by the things of the world and you listen to these reports and it gets you, you know, people have to be kept informed, because the mainstream media is never going to read these type of things to you. It takes a lot of hard work for me to put these together every week. And, you know, you just need to know what's going on in the world that people will not report because they have an agenda. But despite hearing these things and being a little negative, there is so much positive when you think about Jesus Christ, okay? Now, having said that, that's the positive news for the week. We will finish part 2 of 2 parts of Abimelech this week, okay? There's actually more of Abimelech to come, but this is a single part. If you didn't see last week's, you missed out on the background information that will be revealed today. And I will tell you this, that when I started doing these 2 sermons, I had no idea what was coming. I had no idea. And I was thoroughly surprised that it speaks of the most critical end times events in the tribulation period, what you'll hear today. So if you enjoy future prophecy and you want to understand what is going on, it's all detailed in the Abimelech sermons, okay? But you have to watch last week's in order to understand what is coming in this week's sermon. If you watch this week's, you're not going to understand. You're not going to get the background information. But a couple of ironies. This one is, this is ironic, from X, which is once Twitter. Anti-Israel protester calls for a boycott of Nike for supporting Israel while wearing, anyone? Nikes! Okay, and then Mail Online, you probably heard this. It's about a week and a half, maybe even 2 weeks ago, but I did something last week that preempted this one, so I want to read you the brain pan of one of our great singers in America. Mail Online, Madonna scolds a concert goer for sitting down at her Los Angeles concert before realizing he was in a wheelchair. Such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG Prophecy Report for the week.